Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Truth that remains sterile and abstract and theoretical until it's wrapped in flesh and blood.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
The one thing that we did see that for me was the best part of it all, we did kind of hike our way through the city and got to one particular museum that I wanted to get to, and we were able to just before we were to leave, called the Hong Kong Museum. It was quite impressive because it's a nice museum and they have exhibits and displays of basically the history of Hong Kong. And all the way back, as we walked through the very beginning of that, you take a little escalator down and it's like two or three floors worth. And so it starts with prehistoric Earth, 400 million years ago. That's where it starts, the history of Hong Kong. I had one person say, 400 million years ago, is that really? Well, no one was around 400 million years ago. God was, and I don't think it started with an evolutionary process. God created the world, and he did put multiple cities and civilizations, and one of them happened to be Hong Kong. I kind of walked through all the different parts, their culture, different people who were very significant in Hong Kong. They talked about the Opium War and how influential that was in the history of the island, the occupation as well, that Japan came in 1941. And how Hong Kong came into its own, of course, the British rule, and how all that played a part. And I really enjoy being able to see things. And actually going through all that reminded me again of how important it is for people group to retain its heritage. If you miss your past, many civilizations then lose where they're headed. And so, wisely so, Hong Kong has tried to retain its history, where they came from, who made a significant part in play into that particular city, and who they were, and the people group. It showed the rickshaws and showed the reenactments and theaters and displays and activities of the dragons that were part of the parades and had the big part of their religion, which is a big part of their culture. They're polytheistic, multiple gods. And what's interesting to note is out of that multiple gods or polytheistic view plays a part in all of their day-to-day activities. And then went right up to the present where they are today. And understanding that and understanding the value of that, any civilization, as I jotted down, every civilization needs to retain its heritage and its history. And so you have to make sure that is this accurate, is it documented rightly? Because if that documentation is not right, then really you can build off of a very faulty foundation. They very much appreciate and have a great love for the ancestors that have gone on before them, their parents or grandparents or great-grandparents, to the point that now, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I do look at it scripturally, that what happens slowly in a people that have such a love for their heritage and their people and their forefathers from way back, their ancestors have got to the point that it moved from an appreciation to a worship. And pretty soon, we start worshiping and giving our time and attention, which is really what worship is, our time and our attention, our devotion to a wrong source, a wrong place, a wrong person. Now, I say that in light of what does the Bible have to say? The Bible says very much about the earth worship. And the Bible is very much about appreciating people who have gone on before you. Hence why we have the Bible and why we have this particular text I want to look at today on the area of the only way to live. Because we have a heritage, we have a history, we have an ancestry that have gone on before us, that their lives don't. And if you were to ask them, if you could bring them back from the grave and say, tell me what you'd want me to do, they would not want us to focus our time and our attention on their life. They would want us to focus our time and attention on the very God that they worshiped. Many times, a whole worship system can be moved off base. And that's why you have chapter 11, which is an exposition and a preaching about the statement, the just shall live by faith, Romans 1:17. It shows up in Galatians. It shows up in Hebrews, and it's based off of Habakkuk, the Old Testament minor prophet that said, if you're going to live, you've got to live by faith, and the just are the people that are going to live by faith. Then he explains it, he gives the expression to it, and then he walks through the rest of chapter 11, which I want to focus on individuals today as examples to us, because they speak much to us. These are men that show faith in action. And even though their lives were in ancient times, their example applies to our times today. They model a faith-filled life with our Lord. They were not always perfect, with many obstacles, but always with a sincerity seldom found today. And it starts with the book of Genesis, and he begins to record individuals. And I'd like to look at, I'm not going to get to all of these today, but I'd like to at least start with the first one, because it starts with, and in chapter 11, with verse 4. We talked about verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And why in the world did he end up putting these in? Because these are men, and these are women, these are people that live lives before us, and they document the biographies. And here in chapter 11, he begins giving examples to the exposition, the just to live by faith. By the way, that's why in most of our preaching, and at least in my own preaching, I try and model it after. You take a text, you try and explain it, you try and express it, and give examples to it. That is why you have chapter 11 of Hebrews. And so he does that by starting in verse 4, and let's look at this particular area. And I think it's important, first of all, to answer these two questions. One of the key questions is the area of what do these stories teach us about faith? What do these stories teach us about faith? And I think it's important to be able to answer, first of all, very simply, the reason why these biographies are in here. And I think that there are benefits. First of all, these biographies really translate truth into life. In other words, truth that remains sterile and abstract and theoretical until it's wrapped in flesh and blood. Example, friendship becomes tangible in the face of Lazarus, who's emerging from the grave at the call of Christ. Suffering, you understand in a greater way when Job, who went through those great sufferings, and you can read about those and you realize, you know what? Others have gone through the same struggles. The thorn in Paul's flesh, the dungeons where Joseph and Daniel spent sleepless nights. One author who wisely, when he looks at this whole picture of these people of faith, said the Bible characters are more like adventures of Sinbad the Sailor than stories for vacation Bible school. Even the holiest of heroes forgot whose side they were on at times. You read through some of these names that we'll be looking at and you think, what? A simple statement, and all of a sudden you go back into the Old Testament, you look at Genesis, as we'll see some, and you realize, man, these people were flawed. They were not perfect. They had difficulties. They had, exactly. They take truth and biographies that are given, they translate truth into life. Understand as well that biographies really give us a closer kinship with our fathers in the faith. We benefit when we realize that when we see men and women of faith reacting to situations, we are in a place to realize that reaction to situations are many times same as our father in the faith, as Abraham was, and we'll talk about him in the next weeks to come. We discover people like Moses and Ruth and Elisha and Rahab, very much like us. We're drawn to them. Elijah was in like passions we are. They have the same kind of affection, same kind of scenarios. You say, well, it's different then. Was it so much different then than it is today? I don't think so. I think as well biographies stabilize us when we go through similar events. Those similar events, it's something about knowing you're not the first one to lose a child, to face an angry superior and someone that's over you, to struggle for a parent's approval or to encounter ministry differences and churches that have struggles. You read about those. The lives of men and women of faith are recorded for our encouragement, our stability. That's what Scripture says in Romans 15:4. He said, "For whatever was written in earlier times were written for our instruction, that through perseverance and whatever of the encouragement of the Scriptures, we'd have hope." And to realize, you know what? If they've gone through some of those same things, you know, Lord, I guess I can go through these. You draw your focus and your attention not just from those individuals that in recent past, but those that's recorded and you can bank on it, their same struggles and difficulties. And in addition, lastly, biographies also teach us and help us to maintain a divine perspective. And that divine perspective, that close look at others' godly walks, motivate us to follow their example. You find in them prayer and standing along in decision or willing to die for a cause. But it puts fire in our bones. We get a point, so you know what? If they've done that, there's a reason for it. The Bible is filled with people whose lives cast shadows, some large and some small, across the biblical landscape. You look at people like, why in the world does the Bible take a name like Jabez and expands that? And yet others in that same text, there's just one statement or nothing said about them. Why in the world does he end up taking whole chapters that open up Mephibosheth's whole life story, one little character out of a whole scene? And yet when you take the book of Genesis, the seedbed of who man really was, you don't have to worry about going back to some prehistoric man. When I was a kid growing up in public school in L.A., I really thought I could not reconcile. I knew the Bible was true. I mean, here's Adam and here's the lineage, and yet where in the world does caveman fit into this? And then I really believed that, you know, well, somehow that must have fit in there. That doesn't fit in there. You have to start with Scripture and work off of that. And there was no caveman. I mean, we have a tendency to look at people, even as people will read about it and think, you know, I don't know. Those people really were, you know, I mean, they must have been walking around bear skins and stuff and bare feet and, you know, eating like gruel and, you know, sleeping on rocks. And I'm being half facetious, but the other part of me is like, really? I mean, you look back at people, you know, I think, were they really that smart? I mean, they didn't even have, like, computers. How smart could they be? They don't even have computers. I mean, can you imagine living without computers? Somebody going, yeah, yes, without computers. I think they're going to be around for a while, folks, okay? Just get used to it, all right? You know what? They were very smart. Interesting note, by the way, you travel some, you'll go back in some civilizations, it's incredible what they lived with. They really weren't struggling that hard in some ways. And the fact of the matter is, they were very smart. Fact of the matter is, as some we're going to talk about, they were so smart, they knew God.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.